Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Electric Royalties, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ELEC, and on the OTC markets under the symbol ELECF. I am chatting with the CEO, Brendan Urich. Now, Brendan, I wanted to follow up on news that came out last week, April 15th. The news outlines a letter of intent signed with Sprott Resource Streaming and Royalty for a $9 million Canadian investment, a co-investment to help fund that recent deal that the company signed for the acquisition of the Middle Tennessee Mine Royalty. Now, this deal was announced about mid last month, and the terms around that royalty acquisition, it was $13 million in cash and $14.5 million in shares. You have Sprott Resources Streaming and Royalty paying most of the cash component. How did this deal come together to bring in the Sprott team?
Yeah, well, we've been, kind of working on something like this from the beginning. You know, we wanted to go get, this asset, the Middle Tennessee Mine Royalty is, you know, it's operated by Trafigura. It's located in the U.S. It's got a, you know, good mine life ahead of it, 15 plus years, you know, and it brings in significant cash flow. And so to go after an asset like that, you're really going to have to pay up, and so the deal size overall was kind of, you know, near where we're at as a company combined market capitalization. And, we felt like, you know, we wanted to stay diversified throughout as we build and, you know, to go get an asset like this, we kind of had to go to this size. And so, you know, we always kind of were talking to groups and looking at, you know, bringing in a group like Sprott as a co-investor, to basically let us, you know, chase the assets we want and, you know, get that type of quality and asset that we wanted, but stay diversified throughout and not, you know, put too many eggs in one basket. We'd had discussions with a lot of different groups out there that have been interested in co-investing on opportunities like this. In the end of the day, you know, we went with Sprott, got a bit of a history there with them. But one of the most well-known groups in mining, obviously got a lot of capital, fantastic track record, and we're thrilled to partner up with them on this and, kind of have them with us as partners as we move forward and close on other deals in the future. So we're excited about it.
So just to clarify, too, there is also a $10 million financing, minimum of $10 million, that needs to be completed to close this royalty transaction. This investment by Sprott Streaming, this is outside of that $10 million financing, correct?
Yes, that is correct. So essentially, there was two royalties that we're picking up as part of this acquisition. Sprott is putting up $9.15 million cash for 50%. Of one of those two royalties. And so that covers a little bit over 70% of our cash acquisition cost. But as part of the deal, since we're giving the vendor a large chunk of shares of Electric Royalties, we needed to also go out there and complete a $10 million equity raise. So that is something that we will be announcing on in the near future here. The nice thing about this and how it's structured now is that most of that cash that we go raise will actually be, in the stable for other deals that we have in our pipeline, of which we have many. So we'll be able to use that cash for new acquisitions above and beyond this one that we've just announced.
So when we introduced the company and also outlined that royalty acquisition back in mid-March, there were a couple other questions that came in. First one was pretty straightforward. What are some of your guys' cash flow estimates for this acquisition, that Middle Tennessee mine?
Yeah, sure. So, a little bit complicated just by, COVID of last year in terms of where the mine is at right now. But, it's producing about $1.2 million a year as of the last couple of months. But that's, really kind of getting over some of the COVID delays and work stoppages that happened, as of COVID. And so we're expecting that this will get up to about $2.5 million a year, probably over the next 12 months or so. Trafigura actually came in and took over this asset as part of a restructuring of Nearstar at the end of 2019. They didn't really get to make as much progress as they probably would have liked last year. Obviously with COVID in the US, being pretty, hard hit, especially in certain areas. But they've got $250 million US earmarked for former Nearstar assets to reinvest the capital that probably should have been invested a few years back. But we're expecting they'll get the Middle Tennessee mine up to nameplate capacity. At nameplate capacity, at today's zinc price, you're looking at about $2.5 million cash flow a year. And so we're expecting that as they get over some of these COVID delays from last year, by the end of this year and going into next year, you should start to see an annual cash flow of about $2.5 million a year.
Okay. Can you also explain a little bit the sliding scale of the royalty? Because a couple of listeners noted that if the zinc price goes below 90 cents, then there will not be any cash flow developed from this royalty. How does that sliding scale all work here?
Yeah, sure. So, technically they would be correct. If zinc price goes below 90 cents a pound, for that month, we aren't getting paid for that month. It works so that between 90 cents and $1.10 per pound zinc, you're basically getting paid a 1% gross revenue royalty off of zinc revenues. And above $1.10 zinc, you're basically looking at a 1.4% gross revenue royalties. So definitely scales up with the zinc price. Why we feel pretty comfortable that we're not going to see any kind of sub below 90 cent per pound zinc is that the agreement actually doesn't have anything in there to account for inflation. And I think if you look at just the inflationary aspect of it, in the inflationary environment that we're in, there's going to be a strong kind of impetus for that price to stay above just on an inflationary standpoint. And that's outside of where we expect the supply demand fundamentals of zinc to kind of go and move as far as pricing as we move forward. But we're fairly confident that just based off of an inflationary basis, and keep in mind that we're looking out over a 20-year plus potential mine life here as they have exploration success. Over the long term, we're not expecting that to be a major factor at play.
All right, let's talk about some of the upcoming news flow events or catalysts, whether it comes from inside the company's portfolio of royalties or whether there could be some more deals signed. What updates can you give us for those watching this company?
Yeah, sure. So, I think about over the next kind of 3, 4, 6 months, you're probably going to see about 50% of the catalyst coming from our current portfolio. One of the nice benefits of being a royalty company, I think our partners raised about $20 million last year, and invested that moving and advancing our royalties along in terms of value. If you look at this year, Sayona just announced actually a $20 million financing. Sayona operates our OJ Lithium project, and they're in the process of acquiring the Canada Lithium mine right next door. So the catalyst of that basically being that they would be blending the ore from the OJ Lithium project, and that would be putting cash flows to us from that asset at about 12 to 18 months out. So that would be a big catalyst. Another big catalyst that we expect in the next 3 months or so would be a PEA coming out on our Battery Hill project. Now, I don't think we're getting much value for this today, but we do expect this will be our largest royalty once in production. Internally, we're forecasting somewhere in the range of $6 million a year with a 35 to 40-year mine life. So it'd be really nice once the economics get wrapped around that project and people can see the value there. And we've also got a updated resource coming out on our vanadium royalty project. Already had a 37-year mine life, very, very large project as is, that we're forecasting would pay us off about $1 million, $1.5 million a year. I think they're looking at a 1 billion ton resource now. It already had 37 years, so you'll probably see production rate upside case for that one. And so those would be kind of the three catalysts coming on internally. I think outside of that, you're definitely going to see some more deals announced on our end. We're trying to get through this one, but we've got three or four more producing opportunities kind of in our pipeline that we'd like to take down in near short order as well. And so you're going to see a number of new acquisitions announced by us, but also a number of exciting catalysts from our current portfolio come to fruition here over the next kind of 3 to 6 months. So it's an exciting time.
Brendan, what are you seeing in terms of the availabilities of royalties, different type of assets that the company could acquire in this battery metal space now that there is more interest in battery metals broadly?
Yeah, so I still think at this point in time, we're really the only group out there focused exclusively on this entire suite of metals. And so there are definitely still metals whereby we're the only group in town that groups can come to for royalty financing on certain commodities. I also think that because we're focused primarily on creating new royalties. That means that it's our initiative going to a company, identifying an opportunity. And so, in those circumstances where you're going and creating new royalties, there is no competition necessarily, because you've approached a group. It wasn't the opposite way. Consolidating existing royalties are usually run by at least some kind of a process. If a group's looking to sell something, they typically don't just approach one group. Whereas it's opposite. If we're approaching these groups, we're typically the only group that is talking to them at that time. So I see there's still lots of opportunities out there. I look at how we're using our first mover advantage, and we've got most of the royalties locked up in and around Canada's only producing lithium mine. We've got 2/3 of the only manganese district being developed in North America for the EV space. And so I look at it, there's definitely lots of opportunities out there, but I think that we're making good work and good use of this first mover advantage as we go out there and try and pick up key assets that we really like.
All right, Brendan, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for that update on the back of that news last week and addressing some of those questions that came in. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Brendan to answer those. We'll follow up with some more news hits the market. Brendan, I appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to talking again in the near future.